All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today.
Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your Spot Me limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
This is Germany.
And this is Brittany.
And this is the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
A motivating and encouraging podcast where we focus on building community amongst colorful women alike.
Join us weekly as we sit down and have candid conversations on various topics and issues surrounding self-care, self-love, mental health and wellness, spirituality, entrepreneurship, and much more.
And trust, when we don't have the answers, we'll call on our expert homegirls who do.
Our intention is to create a safe space for growth, inspiration, laughter, and love, free of judgment, in hopes that after you listen, you're a little more knowledgeable or at least a little more entertained than before.
It's homegirl vibes here. Real, raw, and a little funny.
A lot of fucking funny.
So thanks for tuning in to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast.
Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, boo-boo babies. It's a new week.
It is.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
Good.
Really good.
So
happy to be here.
Good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was chill. I didn't do much of anything. I just chilled, really.
Low-key.
The weather, the temperature fell, and I fell.
It fell.
Yeah.
Temps have dropped.
How was your weekend?
I think equally chill. Nothing much going on.
No.
Now that the stay-at-home orders have been lifted, maybe there'll be more exciting weekends on the horizon.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
We will have to see. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll
hopefully,
have to see.
Hopefully. I mean, fuck. COVID's real, but... just trying to live, just trying to balance.
Yeah.
A balance. So maybe we'll have some good news. You know what I want? I want my money from Coachella back.
I'm sure they're going to make an announcement soon.
Make it. I want it in my account.
They will. Usually it's like at the end of January.
God, it's not happening. They should have, top of December, they should have said, we're circling back. We have your money because nothing's happening in April.
Dead.
I want it back. So new little tings around here. We want to remind you, if you love this show, if you love it the way you say you love it, and it's bringing value to your life, make sure you take a moment to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. This is very important work that we're doing here, and your job, your part in this, this energy exchange is to make sure that you are leaving a rating and review.
It's important.
It's very important. It's the way our show gains notoriety. It's basically, yeah, it's notoriety. It's our notoriety. It's also like a little Yelp review.
Yes, so. It is. So take 2 seconds out of your day. Do us that solid.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to highlight our review of the week. This one comes from Neesis. She says, healing. I love that you guys really create a space for healing from all angles. I need to laugh to get through hard times and topics. And y'all currently. No, and y'all certainly. Certainly
and currently.
Certainly.
Oh,
check
yes.
That box. You guys are also very relatable with your delivery and discussions, and I think most of us need that in order to see ourselves for our truth so that we can grow.
Growth. We always say that. Kelly, we like to offer healing with a touch of laughter.
Yeah,
both. We like the laughter.
We heal through laughter.
We heal through laughter.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, thank you for leaving that rating and review, Yeezus.
Neesus. Neesus.
I done turned her to
thank
yay.
Thank you so much.
I done turned her into yay. Well, thank right. you, no matter who you are, homegirl.
Because you're close to God. Jesus.
Neesus.
When you read these reviews, you're close to God.
You are like him in yes. his image. Another way that you can support our podcast is by joining us over on Patreon.
That's the ultimate way.
This is the way that really matters.
That's the way that,
this is the way that keeps the lights
that's
on.
That's the way that paves the way.
Yes, exactly.
For us to stay.
Do you want to let them know what Patreon is?
So Patreon is an exclusive membership community where we provide bonus content. We provide playlists.
Yeah.
Additional episodes.
Journal prompts. So many
blog posts.
There.
Photos.
Uh-huh.
Exclusive photos. And this week on Patreon, we did our monthly check-in where we spilled a little juicy tea. So here's a little snippet.
We'll see.
Have you ever sucked dick with ice?
I know that's one of your things.
No, now I haven't whipped it out in a while. I'm just wondering if you've done it. I don't know if all men like it.
No, I've never done it.
What I need is a pocket pussy. Do you have one of those?
I don't.
I need a pocket pussy.
I don't think you need it. I don't think you need it. I don't think so. You want to know my reasoning? Like, this is a new budding relationship. And
so for the rest of that kinky tale and more where that came from.
The freaky tale.
And gone over to Patreon. The information is down in our show notes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll see you on that side.
Yeah.
So new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So this portion of our show is where we dish a little tea on hot topics, things happening in pop culture.
Hot tops and cold bottoms.
Yeah. So.
What's up with it?
This week, last week, Versus happened finally, the long-awaited, I guess we're calling it the long-awaited, Versus battle happened between Keisha Cole and Ashanti, and it was very anticlimactic.
Miss Ashanti. I mean, honestly, truly, I mean, it was quite boring, but Ashanti really bodied Keisha.
And I hated that. I didn't hate what? It. Wait. The thing is, I had all put all my eggs in Keisha's basket. I had high hopes for Keisha because I love Keisha. I love Ashanti too.
But one thing you guys need to know about Britney is that you really like that broken down R&B. You love a good old...
Ashanti had broken down R&B too. Anyway. You know,
Keisha has that wounded woman R&B.
I love it.
Yeah, I know.
I love it here. And I like Keisha for more than just the wounded R&B.
I mean, is it because she's from the Bay?
Duh.
Okay, just wondering. Pearl. Okay.
Precisely.
Okay.
So when Keisha was late, the thing is, she was very late, which already have set the tone.
Yeah.
Fucked up the mood. Ashanti was a good sport. She was holding it down while Keisha was trying to get her audio visual together. But overall, like...
For a long time, too, right? Like a 45 minutes, an hour?
Ashanti was by herself for about 35, 40 minutes. And we were waiting in totality for like an hour, over an hour.
Oh, because she was late. And then when she came, Keisha was later. Still late,
exactly.
Oh, my lenta.
So, yeah, between that, they weren't really vibing with each other. I didn't like some of the songs that Keisha selected.
Keisha's team let her down. Whoever is supposed to partner
DJ
with you
was trash.
To pick the songs let her down. Yeah. And Keisha was trying to strong arm, bully Ashanti a little bit. And
bully?
When she was like, okay, you know Keisha started it off, right? When Keisha, this is the thing. I was late to the verses and Keisha still wasn't there. So when she finally showed up and was like, all right, let's do it. And whatever she was doing. And she started with, I don't love you. Right. Boom. So then they went through the 10 songs and then, you know, they're supposed to switch.
Oh, you're talking about. And then.
And she was like,
about to go. And then Ashanti was like, no, you're not.
Yeah, she was like, no, you're not. You already went. She was like, didn't she start with. And then Ashanti said, start the song because Instagram going to cut us off. I'm like, ooh, see.
The vibe wasn't there between them two mommies. But.
The vibe hasn't been there for the female artist. I mean, the last time there was a real vibe was Erykah Badu and Jill Scott.
Well, no, Patty and
Gladys.
Patty and Gladys gave it to us.
Okay.
Well, who were the other females?
I don't know if there's many.
I think those were the last ones, but
Now they're saying that SWB and
what?
And Escape might battle. Now
seriously?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to our battle with Music and Anthony Hamilton?
Who asked for that? I didn't ask for that.
No one asked for it, but that's what I heard.
I didn't ask for that.
I would have been sitting there. Uh-uh. Maybe I'll be.
And they could put Jaheim and Avant together.
Jaheim is not all there. So they couldn't actually.
Oh,
couldn't.
He's still
and
not?
Avant has had some health issues.
Yeah, he does.
So they actually couldn't be coupled.
Okay. Maybe I'll be sitting here waiting on you to come home again. By your side. To protect you and to love you and to be with you for life. Come on home to me, Charlene. You said Charlene. You remember cornbread, fish, and collard greens.
I got what?
Janine. Now listen, I love that
album.
If you
want it.
Because I'm a pimp, girl.
If you need it.
I put the juice in
cherry, girl. Cornbread, fish, and collard greens.
Come on.
I got what you need.
Got him. He said, because I'm a pimp, girl. I put the juice in Jerry, girl. Okay, I could deal with a little Music and a little Anthony Hamilton.
Because I watched Anthony Hamilton's Tiny Desk and it was
phenom.
Chef's kiss.
Who would I go for in that instance?
That's I would probably go with Music.
I was thinking Music.
Music, I stuttered. But Because, I mean, I don't know, shit. I don't know, but all I know is that Versus needs to get back to the drawing board with the quality, the audio quality and all that, because that matters. So hopefully they can figure that out before they present us with whoever's next. Mm-hmm. So we'll see there.
They've changed. They continuously tried to level it up. But like, you know, before they were just sending the kit and caboodle to get, ooh. Before they were just sending the kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
And now they've added the element of DJ, which changes things. Because now you got to make sure the DJ sound is also coming through.
Right, yeah, just like. I think the DJ only works when they're in the same room. If they're not in the same room, sit the kinda, DJ element out.
Yeah, a little boozy.
Because Too Short and E-40's DJs had it lit.
Yeah, that was dun, good.
But anyway, so that was Versus.
Admit that Ashanti ate her up.
Ashanti won battle. Yeah, she won that battle. I'm not going to say she ate her up, but I'm going to say
Ashanti. Oh my God, she ate her
up. I'm going to say Ashanti won that battle.
She ate her. She ate her. She ate her.
But don't get it twisted. Keisha Cole still.
Oh my God.
I can say that in that setting.
She was eight.
I can say that in that setting, Ashanti won. But
Ashanti has.
But overall, I'm 10 toes down with Keisha, period. If I had to pick, I'm still picking Keisha.
Oh God.
So yeah, that was the Versus battle. Another battle. Someone needs to go verse Danny Lay.
Okay, wait, what you said? Oh my God.
Danny Lay versus the people. Mm-hmm. The black people. Because Danny Lay decided that she was gonna have a song called Yellow Bone.
The way she talks just kills
Yellow
me.
Bone, that's what he wants. So she released a song, and that was that. Yeah. Basically,
or a snippet. I don't even think it came
snippet.
Out.
It didn't come out, but she was teasing it.
Yeah,
she was teasing a song that probably won't be released now.
No.
But the internet was all up in arms, understandably so, rightfully so, because Danny Lay. First of all, what? There's so many whats and whys here. Mm. There's so many whats and whys. The black dark skinned people who I am a member of the club. We didn't understand why she made that song. Like, we didn't need that. We didn't need to hear Yellow Bone, that's what he wants.
I don't think anybody needed it. Even like lighter skinned
no one
women
needed.
Were like, Danny, we didn't ask for an anthem. Because that's what she said. Brown skinned girls, dark skinned girls get to talk about their skin and get to like be proud of their skin.
Right.
Why can't I do that for like my light skinned baddies? Why can't I have an anthem for us? And it's like, girl. No.
Let us tell you why. First of all, you're not a yellow bone. You're Dominican.
Right.
So first of all, that's why you can't.
Right.
You are not a part of the group that you made the song for.
Right.
You're a Dominican. Yellow bone is a light-skinned black woman.
Period.
So, and she's
a culture vulture.
She's a culture vulture. Because mm-hmm. she loves to say the word nigga.
And I'm taking her off any, I'm deleting her music out of my library.
Bye.
I'm deleting it.
Bye, bitch.
Yeah, I'm sick of her.
And she was like, I don't see color. I date a chocolate man.
Like, obviously you do see color. She wouldn't have created the song.
Yellow Bone, that's what he wants. She was like, I date a chocolate man. I'm not colorist. I'm not racist. You know, if I offended anybody.
She clearly, somebody told her, you got to go say something because you're getting canceled in a real way.
Yeah, because at first she had.
She said, only God could cancel me. Y'all are a bunch of haters.
Yeah.
Like, she was, you know how they do.
Right.
And then somebody probably said, you're actually going to have to apologize.
You're actually going to have to release a statement. I hate the way she talks as well. It was giving.
She was like, you know, I just don't get it. And I'm like, girl, what do you have, a speech impediment? Just talk. And nothing against anybody with a speech impediment. I'm just saying, like, girl, enunciate. Enunciate.
She's just annoying.
Isn't it enunciate? It is enunciate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get in there. Get on. Let those words
or
roll off
just
your tongue.
Be quiet. I would just want her to be quiet. I would take that method. Be quiet. The song is not even banger. So she really jumped out the window with that one. Like,
she's annoying. She's annoying.
And DaBaby.
The Pick Meisha. That's what they be calling her.
DaBaby was under her post with the original snippet posting little yellow circles.
Both of them can go to hell.
Both.
Like, ugh.
Because I don't give a damn about DaBaby or DaDanny.
Dead.
Fuck them both.
Fuck them both. I'm not here for it. I don't like that.
So, you know what? I was just like, whatever, Dani Leigh. She's been doing a lot of things that have been annoying lately. So, this was just like the cherry on top.
Icing on the cake.
It's the cherry on top.
So, cancel that bitch. Delete her out of your playlists. Take her off of your, take her out of your music library. Stop following the hoe. Get her out of here.
And that's why we have to stop giving passes, because she should never been granted to say nigga.
I know, because remember how they used to drag J-Lo? Remember when J-Lo said,
was saying nigga?
Remember she said in, I'm real. Wait, what was that song with Ja Rule when she had the little pink sweatsuit, the I'm real remix, right? When she was like, I tell them niggas my name is, but they don't hear me though.
Ooh.
And I live my life to the limit, and I love it. Now I can breathe again, baby. Now I can breathe again. Okay, so people were dragging her. People were dragging her ass for that, and then they tried to do that whole like, well, in Puerto Rican culture.
Yeah.
And even still, Big Pun, Fat Joe, we need to get them all out of here.
Yeah.
Shit.
Cardi B
too.
They're not black.
They're not.
They're not black. So if you're not black, you shouldn't be using the word nigga, and that's on what?
Period.
Shit.
Mary had a little lamb.
Right.
Tired of it.
Stop using the word nigga if you're not black.
The little PSA. Stop it.
Stop it.
You know, really quickly to back it up and dump it, we have to shout out our new patrons.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
So shout out to our niggas, hopefully. Shannon.
Hey, Shannon. Welcome to the gang.
And Casey.
Hi, Casey. We need more names on this list next week.
Do
what you got to do.
We need more patrons. Yes,
do what needs to be done, ladies. Period. Join us over there.
Period. So yeah, Dani Leigh, ugh, disappointment.
Done with that bitch.
Period. Aussie Hair wants you to start off 2021 by embracing and understanding your unique hair type. To help do so, Aussie has just launched new moisture-packed products to help meet the unique hair needs for all hair types and textures. Whether you have straight locks, soft waves, twirls and curls, or popping coils, Aussie now has tailored options for any hair care routine. Me, when I'm not wearing a protective style, a braid out is my go-to look, so I need good products to hold me down. My favorite products are from the new Miracle Coils collection, four quality products with nourishing formulas that provide moisture and protect my hair and keep my coils defined throughout the day. I love these products for my 4A hair because they're sulfate and silicone free. I also love the slip of the conditioner. Chef's kiss. Aussie products are also PETA certified cruelty free, so they love all types of hair and animals. Learn more by following Aussie on Instagram at Aussie Hair USA. Plus, they're easy to find and affordable. Wherever you shop, you can find Aussie products starting at $2.99. Get your curls together, queens.
So. Last week we kicked off
our relationship goals.
We did. So we started a new series, like Brittany said, relationship goals. We're at episode 175, and we were chatting about the concept of codependency. So codependency can be defined as any relationship in which two people become so invested in each other that they can't function independently anymore. We discussed how codependent characteristics are created, ways to identify if you are codependent, and how to overcome this learned behavior if you feel like this is you, if you feel like it's speaking to you. So if you haven't listened to that episode, tap in. And today we're gonna keep pushing forward, part two.
Per Twitter, before we push forward, per Twitter and Instagram, a lot of mommies discovered that they are codependent. So
we're doing the Lord's work. We're just opening your eyes. It's for you to keep them open.
Period.
We have our fingers on your eyelids, holding them open. When we release, it's up to you to decide what you want to do. You can either go back to sleep or you can keep them bitches open.
You can either stay blind or you can see.
It's on you.
Okay? So, yeah. But anyway.
Today. We're talking all about attachment styles. So.
We've talked about attachment styles before, but.
We have.
As we've been journeying through.
100 episodes ago.
Ooh.
That's how long ago
it was. And that was a long time ago. So over the past 100 episodes from that original episode, we've learned a lot about ourselves. We've been in different situations. Dynamics. And so
we felt it was only right to re-explore.
Revisit.
Attachment theory.
Yes.
So
let's just get right into it. So
go for it.
If you're new here and you're not privy to what an attachment style is, attachment styles can be defined as the way we are organized around relating the emotional bonds in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get into a relationship with someone, your attachment style starts peeking out, showing its little ass.
Yeah.
Showing its little ass, right? So usually they say that attachment styles are born by the way that we were related to in childhood. This is a blueprint, but through unlearning and doing the work around them, we can rewire our attachment style. So if you're not happy with how your attachment style is currently, don't fret. It can be changed. Uh-huh. There's an ebb and flow. I know that for me personally, I felt like I've touched a little bit of all of the attachment styles at some point or another.
Yeah, majority of us have, which speaks to the fluidity of attachment styles. And it also speaks to the power of relationships, how we can be influenced and how relationships can dictate the way we operate in the world.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So first attachment style, there's four. There are four types of attachment styles. You might feel like that's me. Hey, I hear myself in that one. So the first one is anxious attachment style. This is also can be called preoccupied. So this is the most common style of attachment. These people need more closeness, need more intimacy, and they need a lot of reassurance from their partners. There's usually a fear around abandonment and loss. And there are typically feelings around worthiness, which also feeds into our fear of abandonment, the fear of like not being good enough. It just like flows right back into, hey, I might feel like you might leave at any given moment.
Yeah, I need you around.
I need you. Bringing that song back around.
I need you to survive.
Oh my God.
You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Yeah,
the anxious. Okay, so I don't know what made me read the book. I have remembered when we had first did the attachment style episode, a listener or somebody has slid into our DMs and was like,
oh, I remember.
You guys should read this book.
Uh-huh.
So the book was always like, I guess, in my mind. Mm-hmm. And last year, it came back up and I was like, oh, I can get this on Audible.
Mm-hmm.
So I got attached and I was like, you know what? I dived into it and I was like, ooh, I remember when we did the episode, I just was so sure that I had a secure attachment style. But after reading this book and having more experiences, I realized that I can be anxious.
Yeah.
I can definitely be anxious. And I think the part that I identify the most with from the anxious attachment style is like, reassurance.
Yeah.
Constant reassurance. Do you want to be here? Do you still want to be here? Let me know you still want to be here, because if not, then we can just nip it in the bud.
Mine is needing intimacy. The closeness and the intimacy.
Intimacy is important too.
That is my shit. I'd be like, get close to me. Get close to me. Get here. I'm getting close to you.
The thing with me is though, I like to receive intimacy and closeness, but I'm not really the giver of. Like, there's an exchange. Maybe I'm just not super like
touchy. Are you thinking about it in like a physical sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe you don't like to initiate. Is it the initiation process?
Yeah.
Hey, is that one of your is that your challenge for
Germany?
February?
Shut the fuck
Come
up
on. No, we've been challenging we're not each other. No, no, no.
I don't even remember my last challenge.
It was probably something freaky.
I did the freaky one. I did that one.
It was
this one wasn't freaky. It was emotional, which is probably
it was emotional. I have two things for you. You know what the last one was? What I told you, if you're going to be leaving, you can't stay for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. And the other one is to it's going to be to initiate closeness or intimacy, not necessarily sex.
I know.
Yeah, challenges.
So, you know what's interesting?
What?
So babies and children, they learn to regulate their nervous system from their primary caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our attachment styles are developed in childhood. So it's likely that if you have an anxious attachment style, your parents or parent have one as well.
Mm.
Because this is the attachment style that you mirror daily. So
that's why I'm like this. My mom.
Same. Like my mom is very like, are you okay? I didn't talk mm-hmm. to you today. Mm-hmm. Or
yep.
Let me know when you make it. If I don't make it, she's like, girl, I was worried about you.
Always worried.
You didn't hit me up. I was worried about you. Are you okay? Are you alive?
Yeah.
That vibe.
And a lot of that is because we learn to relate to our own emotional stress through the way our caregivers related to our emotional distress. You know, like crying or like you mentioned, are you okay? Like mm-hmm. you fall or I was worried about you. You didn't come home. You didn't call me. It's like, dog, I'm not even in no distress and you're creating stress for me.
Right.
And also science is connecting attachment styles to genetics, basically suggesting that certain genetic makeups impact our attachment style. Like if you have these, what do they call alleles? Alleles? I think they're called alleles. That's what I was reading.
IDK.
A-L-L-E-L-E-S.
That's something having to do with that chain.
Yeah. Shit. Chromosomes?
Yeah.
Is it the chromosomes?
Something having to do with that
like
chain.
Like short and long alleles, whatever they're called. If you do bio or, you know, whatever, and correct. But if they're short, then like you have a secure attachment style. Or if they're long, you're likely going to be anxious, or like they're just trying to put the puzzles together.
I need
together.
To look at my shit in a petri dish. But one thing to note though, like, because I know when I first was learning about these attachment styles, mm-hmm. I was trying to connect everything back to childhood. But it's not always how you were raised, because sometimes your experiences, your dating experiences can shape your attachment style. Yes. So if you don't identify something that happened in your childhood, you're not too sure, don't feel like this might not be your attachment style. Yeah. Like, my mom wasn't like that. My parents mm-hmm. weren't like that. They were very secure. You can have secure parents and still have some anxious attachment styles.
Or what I've noticed, and what this is personally, I'm learning to be more honest with myself when it comes down to like learning things and unlearning about shit, my experiences and the way I relate to people and myself. And a lot of times I'll try to create the outcome, the most desired outcome based on what I know the answer is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, nope, my mom, I'm secure because I know I had a great childhood. I know my mom was there for me, instead of like just looking at the facts.
Period.
So if you struggle with that too, I encourage you to be
go
honest.
Go ahead and free yourself.
Period. Free yourself. Be honest.
Yeah, be honest. That's the only way that we can really get to the ultimate goal, which mm-hmm. is knowing ourselves and implementing some tools so that we can operate at our optimal level. Mm-hmm. So in dating, an anxious attachment can look like overly focusing on if the other person likes you and under focusing on if you actually like them or not.
Yeah.
This is key.
You are the prize. You are the prize.
Once a nigga told me he was a prize, I was like, and I am too. Like, we need to be operating like we're the prize too, because it is easy to be like, I hope he likes me. I hope I'm doing this right. I hope I'm doing that right, to where you're not even worried about and focusing on if the things that he is doing are things
up to
that,
your standards.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Or meeting your needs.
Like, okay, so you like me now and now I don't even like you.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Which I'm sure happens often.
It happens often.
Also, people who have an anxious attachment style, they usually get attached to a potential love interest rather quickly, which ultimately results in dating or entertaining the wrong person. Because this might be somebody who can't even meet your needs, but you're staying because it feels familiar. The resonance.
Yeah.
For no goddamn reason.
Ignoring red flags. I mean, you could have just nipped them in the bud earlier.
Uh-huh.
And just deciding to stick it out.
Well, you don't got to stick it out. Come on. We don't have to stick it out, girls.
We don't have to stick it out. We're done with the struggle of narrative. If it's not a vibe, it's not a vibe.
Period.
And okay. The thing about this style is that women are more likely to be anxious. So
I can see it.
I can see it too. And I think it has a lot to do with conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way we're conditioned. Like, you can't keep a man. If you know, like. The man couldn't keep me, actually.
And that's what it is. He actually
I didn't want to keep the man. I didn't want to be kept by the man.
He couldn't keep me, bitch.
Shit. So, the next attachment style is the avoidant attachment, which is also known as dismissive.
Mm-hmm.
So, a person with avoidant attachment style learned to be self-sufficient at a young age. Mm-hmm. The early independent.
Yeah.
Likely.
All my women.
All my kids that are independent. You are avoidant. Just kidding. But.
You are dismissive.
So likely if you have this attachment style, your caregiver was either neglectful to some degree or emotionally unavailable, which results in the child disconnecting and moving forward alone.
All on your own, my own.
Yeah, like maybe the parent worked a lot.
Yes.
Maybe they just didn't have the capacity. They were dealing with their own
shit.
Yes. They just couldn't
be there. Or they're
present,
but not present.
Yeah.
In the home,
physically,
but not.
Physically there, but not really tapped in.
The Saweetie. So this person self-regulates and believes they cannot rely on others. So just a quick little vocab. Word. Behaviorally, self-regulation is the ability to act in your own long-term best interest. And emotionally, self-regulation is the ability to calm yourself down when you're upset and cheer yourself up when you're down.
So they do it all on their own.
Co-regulation would be, so
venting to a friend.
Relying on other people when you collaborate with your mother or, you know, raising up a child in the way that they should go. And through co-regulation, you learn to self-regulate.
Okay.
These people didn't have any co-regulation, which is why there's that missing element of,
and they feel like they can't rely on someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. So that's probably why the avoidant feels like they can't be in a relationship and have their needs met. Mm-hmm. And the idea of closeness can cause stress on their nervous system.
Everything goes back to the nervous.
It goes back. It's like you don't physically feel like, maybe you feel like, I don't physically feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Or normal in this dynamic. Like, the way I envision that is like, if someone wants to do something for you and you're
literally
like,
cannot let them do it.
You don't want to ask them to do anything because maybe you don't think they will do it. It just doesn't come normal for you. It's not natural.
This is true. What was I going to say? They also can have a difficulty expressing their needs, their feelings, even communicating boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is like tied into one another.
And for sure. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see if you think that someone's not going to come through for you because your primary caregiver didn't, then why would somebody completely outside of you
show up and show out?
Mm. So often the avoidant will implement distancing techniques to avoid intimacy. So this can look like being hypercritical of a partner, focusing on their weaknesses, like literally.
I had somebody be like that towards me before.
What?
Yeah. And then I developed a insecurity like around my body. It was when I was like much, much younger.
Uh-huh.
But they were always like, you don't got no ass. You got a small ass booty. And I'm like, okay. So for a long time, up until I was maybe like well into my 20s, I would always be like, I don't have no body. Like, I don't have any booty or, you know.
What was his point?
I don't know. Probably being fucking dismissive. Mm-hmm. He was a fucking dismissive type of person, I guess.
I've done this before. I've been the giver of being hypercritical, like hyper focusing on something that kind of is not it's not necessarily a deal breaker, but I guess trying to avoid, like, see, that's why I don't need to be in a relationship with you anyway, because of this small thing that I'm being hypercritical of and not even shining any light on the great.
The shining of light.
Yes.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story. But now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black Stories, Black Truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Ladies, let's talk real talk here. You probably have days when the PMS has you feeling like you could eat anything in sight. My goodness, the cravings and the general discomfort. Well, say goodbye to those days with Hormone Harmony from Happy Mammoth. Let's dive into why Hormone Harmony is not just another supplement, but a true game changer. First off, it's not just a trend. It's a phenomenon. Social media is buzzing with women singing praises about Hormone Harmony. In fact, a bottle flies off the shelves every 24 seconds. Can y'all believe that? Now let's talk about Happy Mammoth, the brilliant minds behind this wonderful product. They're all about making your life easier, and that means no compromises on quality. They've meticulously crafted Hormone Harmony using only science-backed ingredients proven to work wonders for women like us. But here's my favorite part. Hormone Harmony contains adaptogens, nature's little miracle workers. These herbal extracts help your body adapt to life stressors, especially those pesky hormonal changes that can throw us off balance. And here's the kicker. Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. It's your secret weapon against those hormonal imbalances that can wreak havoc on your life. From hot flashes and night sweats to racing thoughts and low moods, Hormone Harmony has got your back. And yes, it even tackles the occasional bloat and that not tonight boo feeling. The real benefit here, the real win, feeling like yourself again. That's why countless women are raving about it in over 17,000 glowing reviews. We love a verified product, honey. Now here's your chance to experience the magic firsthand. For a limited time, you can get a fabulous 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BRAVADO at checkout. So what are you waiting for, homegirl? Say hello to balanced hormones and goodbye to those days of feeling like a roller coaster. Your journey to hormone harmony starts now.
Another technique to avoid intimacy that someone with an avoidant attachment style might implement is being heavily focused on personal goals and making them the priority rather than relationships, which are considered non-essential. Like, I ain't got time for that. I'm on my grind. Like,
yes. Or like, who needs friends?
Right.
Who needs a relationship?
Right.
I'm not looking for any of that.
Exactly.
This also could be like working hella much, like 80, 90 hours mm-hmm. in a week. And then when you're the people in your life wants to spend time with you or the person you're entertaining, you're like, why? I don't have time for that. Why would I do that?
I don't have time for that. Y'all trying to find love. I'm trying to get it back. Like, you can do both.
Yes.
Both are possible.
Yeah. And men are likely to be avoidant, have this avoidant style, attachment style.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Let me see. Have I ever dealt with an avoid? Duh. Yeah. I'm pretty, I've definitely dealt with some avoidant men. And I'm like, bitch, are you avoiding me?
Do the work.
Do the work, beloved. Because your attachment style's peeking through. It's peeking through. I saw you at the door.
Yeah.
Being avoided, dismissive.
Next attachment style is, this is fearful. It also is labeled as anxious avoidant or disorganized. So you might see it as any three of those.
Okay.
This is usually a mix between anxious and avoidant because the primary caregiver is a source of fear and love.
The tit.
Yeah.
The seesaw.
Is this like, I never seen that movie Precious, but is that how the mom was? Kind of nice and mean, or just strictly abusive?
She was just overall mean. I mean, there might have been a little love bombing.
Yeah.
Like small little moments of love bombing, but overall she was a cruel, sick bitch.
Well, this type of person, they don't understand or they don't know when the caregiver is going to be safe or not. So maybe the caregiver is the source of like abuse, but also provides love mm-hmm. in some, you know, aspects. So you just kind of like torn, like, so yeah.
And that's why a person with this attachment style could desire closeness, but they're also afraid. Yeah. So they go like, come, and then get away.
Yes, yes.
It's like a push and a pull.
Exactly.
And they might perceive rejection when it's not there, like thinking that somebody's not trying to fuck with them. But in reality, it's like, girl, I'm messing with you. Right. That's not the vibe.
I'm actually messing with you. Yes. And adults with this style, they tend to harbor frustration and rage. They have kids specifically. With this attachment style, blow up really fast. Like they had temper tantrums. Mm. You know, they just don't process very well emotionally. But the adults, they don't feel loved and they seem to reject relationships. But deep down, actually, that's what they need. They need somebody to break every chain.
I mean, we all desire relationship. We're human. Like that's natural. We need it to survive. Again,
I need you to
survive.
Every time it says survive. My God.
Damn. Yeah. I can see how this attachment style can be kind of
hard on the soul. Yeah.
A whirlwind.
The little bipolar attachment style.
Yeah, you're going back and forth like, come. Actually, get away.
Hey, did you ever see that movie, Split?
Wait, what was that one? I feel like I've seen the movie.
Oh, I think you've seen it. I think you've seen it in theaters,
too.
That
guy that had multiple different personalities. Yes. He was sick.
That was a good movie. Okay, I was going to recommend that, but never mind.
It was a good movie.
Oh, I'm bringing that back. I'm watching that.
Split. Yeah, that was a good movie, but I can see this dealing with somebody with this sort of attachment style can drive you crazy, too, because like one minute they're like, oh, my God, it's a vibe. I'm rocking with you. Then the next minute they're like giving you the cold shoulder, and it's like,
What's going on? What's good?
Period.
A fearful, anxious, avoidant. What's good?
Okay, so the final attachment style is a secure attachment.
Mm, the sweet sound and sweet words of secure.
Secure. Sounds like gold.
Yes.
So the parents of a child who developed a secure attachment style were emotionally responsive to the child's needs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a highly elevated parent. I can see how a parent who's tapped in, which I see a lot, at least from the outside looking in with the new generation of parenting.
Yeah.
I can see how they can raise up a lot of securely attached
children. Yeah, you really, as a parent, I mean, I'm not a parent, but through the research, what they're saying is you have to really be attuned with your child. Attuning, like constantly reevaluating, valuing, providing space for them to be emotional, for them to have emotional responsibility. And the first 3 years are critical in building your child's attachment style.
Mm.
That's what they said. They said the first 3 years are critical. This is critical. So
first, second, third.
Dead. So if you have a child in year first, second, or third, then tap in. You might be fucking your kid up.
Man.
Or
the formative attachment style years.
Or doing a good job. I mean, yeah. It doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Damn. Yeah. So the goal would probably be to co-regulate. Yes. So that the child can learn to self-regulate.
Yep.
And we'll be raising better humans, because people with secure attachment styles, they don't fear abandonment or jealousy. So when they get in relationships, there's a healthy dynamic being created, because go on and do your thing.
They're comfortable.
I know you're going to come back.
Communicating their boundaries, yes. their needs, their desires. It's like no tea. Like, I can let you know how I feel, because baby, I was raised like this.
Imagine that.
This is natural.
Imagine just already knowing from a young pup, and as soon as it's time for you to enter some relationships, it's just second nature for you to express yourself. And the person who you're expressing yourself to, they're also secure, because they were raised up in the way a child should go, and they can receive it.
And that's why I low-key feel like I know I have the anxious attachment style to a degree.
Because you don't feel fully comfortable.
She's not fully formed yet. Yeah. She's not fully formed. But I'm working on my throat chakra this year. And beyond. It's right there. Right there. I'm working. I'm tapping on it. Okay. I'm tapping on my Adams.
Yeah. Yeah.
On my Eve's apple. Okay. It's on my Eve's
You're
apple.
You're tapping on it.
I'm tapping on her.
Yeah. And people who have a secure attachment style, they also don't see relationships as threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my favorite part. Because you know this is important to me.
Yes.
They can be relied on. And they can rely on others easily.
Lean on me.
Yeah, because I like to be able to rely on people. But when people are expecting me to be reliable, I don't want to be micromanaged. I don't want, you sure? You going to really, like, if I said it, then I'm going to do it.
If I said it, then I meant it.
Period.
If I said it, then I meant it. Also, these types of folks are comfortable displaying affection and interest. They're really comfortable being alone and independent. And they display a healthy love or a healthy sense of self-confidence. It's confidence. It's like, baby, I don't need you to tell me I'm the shit. I already know that.
Period.
Period. Okay.
I am already whole.
What I am is whole.
I am already whole. You're just an addition to my life.
And that's how we should all be.
I'm allowing to be in my life.
We should all be that way.
It's the way we want to be. So they're saying that people with secure attachment styles make up approximately 50% of the population, which is pretty high. So
because you know why?
Why?
Avoidant, which is dismissive, and anxious, preoccupied are about 20 and 25%. Mm. It's a very, very small percentage of the population who are the disorganized attachment style, the anxious, avoidant, fearful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty small. So most of the motherfuckers walk around secure, but you just don't know if you're going to get that one. You just don't
And
know.
Like I said, we can go through like stages, because who you're partnered with can have a lot to do with your attachment style as well. So you might have felt anxious in one dynamic, and then you got with someone who was secure, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, they Sankofa'd. They Sankofa'd
I'm actually
ass.
Feeling secure. I didn't know I could feel like this.
Yeah, no, I could feel warm.
But you came and you changed my life.
Did.
But that's the thing. Luckily, we can transition from one attachment style to another, and we can keep our goal, if we're not secure yet, to move closer and closer to being secure.
Yes.
But we have to make sure, like with any other change, to understand that it takes a lot of willpower, self-determination, because we're working against something that's been ingrained in us.
Yes.
Like this is years and years of behavior that we have to undo.
Unlearn.
Unlearn. Yeah. Get some new shit under our belts.
Yeah.
So don't think that it's going to be a quick and easy process. Just have some grace with yourself. Have some patience. Right now, we just have tools, and we're going to take the time to implement together.
Yes.
There's a lot of us out here who are going to be working together. We can talk about it. There's books for us.
Mm-hmm. And even though you could do the, you can do the work alone. You can do it with your books, with your hoes, with your homies.
Hoes.
I don't know why I wanted to say that. You can do it with your homegirls. Do it with whoever you want to do it. But therapy is always an option, because if you've been doing this work and you've been trying to do it alone and you're finding that it's difficult to work through a particular issue and you haven't made much progress, maybe it's the time to ask a professional to step
some help.
On in.
You I'm know? Never above help.
I'm really going to get me some help this year.
I know. I need to hit up my the new therapist that my friend recommended, because I just want to have it for maintenance.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel like, oh, something's happened. I need a therapist.
Yeah.
I just want to be, like I said earlier in the episode, my fully optimal self.
Your realized self.
Fully realized.
Yes.
Period. And I think therapy would be great for that.
think so too.
So let's talk about some ways that we can move towards a secure attachment style. Little tools for the toolkit.
Because that's what we want.
And that's what we need. Mm-hmm. So for the anxious type, hey, raise hand.
Hey, my name is Anxious.
Hey, my name's Anxious. And yeah.
I'm here today to do some work.
So if you identify with being anxious.
And you can take a test. We'll put the test in the show notes so that you can do your thing and realize where
you
are.
Please send that over, because I hate when I say we're going to put something in the show notes and then
it don't be in
the
notes.
It slips the mind. No, I'll send it. So here are some things that you can do. Work on communicating your needs better. Mm-hmm. Okay? Communicating your needs clearly means less anxiety and the ability to better assess if a potential partner is really a fit. With no communication, how can we know if someone's really a fit? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like leaving so much up to the imagination, assuming. And
I've gotten a lesson in assuming, y'all. Join us over on Patreon if you want to know. I've gotten a lesson.
Yeah.
I've gotten a lesson.
Yeah. The lessons will come. And the thing is, what we try to avoid is the lessons coming too late. Uh-huh. Or a lesson that's just unbearable happening way on the tail end when it could have happened in the beginning through communication. It could have been like, oh, this could have been nipped before. I'm heavily invested. All these emotions are involved. We're bonded by this, that, and the other.
The trauma bond.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Also, this is another way you can move toward a secure attachment style as an anxious type. Bringing your feelings to the surface and share them with your partner.
Yeah.
Remember that people with secure attachment styles are usually pretty good with communication. And this is what we're striving towards. Love that. I love that for us.
What do you want? A girl worth fighting for. Mulan?
Yes.
I love that. For the avoidant or the dismissive type, allow give and take within your relationship. Remember, this is a person who's super self-reliant. So we're going to be allowing for a little push, a little pull, working towards lessening your need for total self-reliance. Give your partners and friends the opportunity to do things for you that you normally would do for yourself. You got to get up out of that comfort zone. You got to be like, okay, fine. Normally I wouldn't ask, but let me just put it on the table and see how somebody shows up.
Yeah, and once you do it, it's like, oh, I did it.
Yes. And another characteristic, like we mentioned earlier, is being hypercritical of your partner. So a little homework could be to make a list of all the characteristics of your partner that you are most thankful for. Mm. And your ability to express gratitude, this should remind you to focus on not to focus on their imperfections. And I mean, fuck, we all have imperfections.
Nobody's perfect. Nobody's but you're perfect for me. Remember that song? Nobody's perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's perfect, babe.
Nobody's perfect.
But you're perfect for me.
Who sings that?
We rocking. Wasn't it J. Cole and somebody else?
Oh, yes. You got it.
Who was a woman?
It wasn't a woman. I think it was a man.
Oh.
Maybe it wasn't. We'll listen to after. Last thing for the avoidant or the dismissive type. Get comfortable with accepting and initiating physical contact and touch.
See, I'm avoidant, low-key. Bitch, I'm probably the disorganized.
No, you're not. That's very, very, very few people. Remind yourself that it's healthy for you to have intimacy, which can also help you feel safe and secure. I'm going to keep you safe and I'm going to keep you warm. You don't know that? No, you don't know that.
Oh, no. I thought you were saying that to me.
I mean, I will keep you safe and I'll keep you warm, but that was from Friday. No, he was like, I keep you safe. No, he said, I keep you safe and I keep you warm.
You know, I don't be remembering movie lines.
I
do not be remembering movie
lines. I know.
Okay, so for our disorganized, anxious, avoided mommies, here are some tips for you. Be mindful of your actions. So when you find yourself pushing a person away, or create a space, ask yourself, why?
Yeah.
Where are these feelings coming from? Has your partner, your friend, your loved one given you a real reason to believe these actions are necessary? If the answer is no, then there is no real evidence. Give yourself permission to calm the fuck down.
Because these are people who are erratic, who push love away, who really want it, who, you know, I really desire closeness, but then you can't accept it.
Yeah.
Like, stop, y'all.
And that's when you're placing blame, like, you out here doing this, that. And they like, what? I should have cheated.
Cue the Keisha. I should have cheated. For the secure type. So this is some tea right here. There's little like work to be done here because you're already where we're all trying to get to. But something to be aware of is being in a relationship just because it's okay.
Ooh.
Like, this is all good. You know, it's not bad. It's not good.
The complacency.
You got to be mindful of that. So don't stay if it's not a good place for you and your partner. If your partner is an anxious or avoidant attachment, has an anxious or avoidant attachment style, again, be mindful, be alert, have your antennas up, because you can easily start developing these types of characteristics.
Oh no.
That again, that speaks to the fluidity of relationships.
Exactly.
If I'm a secure person and I'm bringing you with me, I have the ability to make you secure, or your ass can make me anxious. And
I can see that, because you know? For instance, say you're secure, right? And you're with someone who has an anxious attachment style, and they're requiring more of you, and in efforts to not disappoint them, you can get kind of anxious trying to make sure their needs are met. Like, they need me to survive. Do this. They need me to make sure I carve out this much time for them, and I have this going on, and now I feel like I'm kind of juggling it, and it's a lot.
Or resentful. Yeah. And me personally, like I mentioned, I had an anxious attachment style. Like, think about this. This is the person who'll call you back to back to back to back to back to back. Wonder why you ain't called them back. Sending you hella text messages.
I've had it.
I've done it. I've been like, what the
fuck?
Oh,
you've done it.
I've done it and I've had it.
I've like, both. Same.
You know, I've had it and I've done
it. I've received and I've given.
And those type of relationships are sometimes jaded.
They're very jaded. And the thing is that anxious attachment style was definitely created from the relationship dynamic.
Yes, it's
fueled
from that.
Because I was not made to feel secure in the dynamic for various reasons.
Yeah, wasn't reassured.
And it had me acting a motherfucking fool. So now, if someone were to have me acting like that, I would, instead of just being like, oh my God, this is just an anxious, I would be like, you know what? You're toxic.
It's a dub. And now in my current relationship, like, my boo-boo baby is very secure and he's allowed me the space to feel secure. I'm like, go fly, butterfly. Go.
Spread your wings.
Spread your wings. And when you come back, you'll still be mine. And y'all better keep y'all hands off of them. Don't put your hands on them.
Take your paws off of mine.
Take them off of them. Only my paws are going on him these days.
So, yeah, we're going to be working to have secure attachment styles, because we deserve,
and be in relationships with secure people,
and
friendships,
be in relationships with secure
relationships,
people. Nobody wants to be driven up a wall. Nobody wants to feel undesired.
No.
So if someone's making you feel that way, kick they ass to the curb.
Oh yes. And you mentioned that you are reading, or you were listening to Attached.
Yes, I'm still listening. So we decided that we're going to do this as a family.
Yeah.
So if you're on Patreon, we will be listing all the details. Come follow us over on Patreon, because we like to read and then discuss. So we'll
and
discuss.
If you aren't, we still might give you some tea, because we have a great partnership with Audible right now.
We do.
Which you'll hear about soon.
We do. And this is a great book to listen to on Audible.
It is. I have
it's
mine.
It's great to listen to on Audible.
You shared it with me. Hey, I wonder if you gave it to me. Can you?
I still have it.
Oh, okay, because I have it too.
Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. Thank you, girls, for listening.
We appreciate you.
Share this episode with your group chat, with your homegirls, with your social media friends.
Mm-hmm.
Likely, if it was beneficial to you, it will be beneficial to someone else. And you're just bringing more people to the game.
And that's important.
Yeah, you're an ambassador.
And it's necessary.
We love you.
You're all ambassadors. So we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.